namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Canto 7, Chapter 9, Text 37. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers.
Bhavan hayashirastanuvam hi bibrat.
Tasmai bhavan hayashirastanuvam hi bibrat.
Veda druhau atibalau madukaita bakyo.
Veda druhau atibalau madukaita bakyo.
Hatva nayat Shruti ganam cha rajastamas cha.
Hatvan achasi vitanam jayaram cha rasta.
Sattvam tava priyatamam tanumamananti.
Sattvam tava priyatamam tanumamananti.
Bhavan hayashirastanuvam hi bibrat. Veda druhau atibalau madukaita bakyo.
Veda druhau atibalau madukaita bakyo.
Hatva nayat shruti ganam sha rajastamas cha. Veda druhau atibalau madukaita bakyo. Hatva nayat shruti ganam sha rajastamas cha. Sattvam tava priyatamam tanumamananti.
Tasmai unto Lord Brahma. Translation. My dear Lord, when you appear as Hayagriva with the head of a horse, you killed two demons known as Madhu and Kaitaba, who were full of the modes of passionate ignorance. Then you delivered the Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma. For this reason, all the great saints accepted your forms as transcendental, untinged by material qualities. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his transcendental form is always ready to give protection to his devotees. As mentioned herein, the Lord in his form of Hayagriva killed two demons named Madhu and Kaitaba when they attacked Lord Brahma. Modern demons think that there is no life in the beginning of creation. But from Srimad Bhagavatam, we understand that the first living creature created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead was Lord Brahma, who is full of Vedic understanding. Unfortunately, those entrusted with distributing Vedic knowledge, such as the devotees engaged in spreading Krishna consciousness, may sometimes be attacked by demons, but they must rest assured that demoniac attacks will not be able to harm them, for the Lord is always prepared to give them protection. The Vedas provide the knowledge by which we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vedesha sarve aham eva veja. The devotees of the Lord are always ready to spread knowledge by which one can understand the Lord through Krishna consciousness. But the demons, being unable to understand the Supreme Lord, are full of ignorance and passion. Thus the Lord, whose form is transcendental, is always ready to kill the demons. By culturing the modes of goodness, one can understand the position of the transcendental Lord and how the Lord is always prepared to remove all obstacles on the path of understanding him. In summary, whenever the Lord incarnates, he appears in his original transcendental form. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam shijam yaham. Whenever And wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. It is simply foolish to think of the Lord as being originally impersonal, but accepting a material body when he appears as a personal incarnation. Whenever the Lord appears, his appearance in his original transcendental form, which is spiritual and blissful, but unintelligent men, such as the Mayavadis, cannot understand the transcendental form of the Lord. And therefore the Lord chastises them by saying, Avajananti mamudha manusim tanamasrita. Fools deride me when I descend in this human form. Whenever the Lord appears, whether as a fish, a tortoise, a hog, or any other form, one should understand that he maintains his transcendental position and that his only business, as stated here, is haitva, to kill the demons. The Lord appears in order to protect the devotees and kill the demons. Pritranaya saranam vinachayata diskritam. Since the demons are always ready to oppose the Vedic civilization, they are sure to be killed by the transcendental form of the Lord. Purport. Om, evading the mode of goodness, Prabhupada said here, one can understand the Lord. So how is the mode of goodness summarized? Prabhupada describes it. Prabhupada says Brahmanas are generally in the mode of goodness. So what is mode of goodness? Goodness means no intoxication, no meat eating, no gambling, and no illicit sex outside of marriage. Prabhupada summarized this: if you live like this, you're in goodness. And if you're breaking these principles, you're in passion and ignorance. So Prabhupada said, this is the basic definition of Brahman. We talk about Brahminical civilization, and Prabhupada came to give Brahminical civilization to the West. There were many gurus coming to America during the 60s and 70s, but none of them were giving second initiation. None of them were making brahmanas. But Prabhupada, he could have just come and said, just chant Hare Krishna, and just had a movement of chanting the Maha Mantra. But he also gave Gayatri, and he explained Brahminical principles. And he said, I want to create brahmanas throughout the world. So this was something unique that Prabhupada gave to the West, that anyone who follows these principles and becomes a devotee of Krishna, he's accepted as a brahmana. And of course, even beyond brahmana is the Vaishnava. The Vaishnava is the one who's devotee of Krishna. So we don't have a so-called caste system in Krishna consciousness, even though we understand there are brahmanas, there are kshatriyas, there are vaishyas, and there are sudras. But the difference is we take this by qualification and not by the birth. In India, birth is considered, you know, everything amongst many people, particularly the caste people. And Prabhupada was criticized many times by many caste brahmanas and caste leaders that you are contaminating our Vedic culture by spreading Krishna consciousness to these Western people who have, you know, bad qualities and bad background. And Prabhupada's point was that everyone is part of Krishna, and everyone has the opportunity and the ability to purify themselves through the process of Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness means following these principles and living a pure life. And ultimately, by receiving the grace and mercy of Krishna. We're not just a organization of karmakanda. Karmakanda means you do some good work, you get some good result. You do some pious activity, and you get the result. We do many good works, and we do many pious works. We chant the names of God. Of course, this is not a pious work. This is a transcendental activity. This is one of the offenses, to consider the chanting of the names of the Lord as a ritualistic ceremony. In India, there are many rituals. We follow many rituals. We do many pujas, and we do many ceremonies. for our benefit and for the benefits of our families. And this is okay. But we should not equate the chanting of the names of the Lord with another ritual. Yes, now I will do japa. This will be some puja for me. This will give me some punya. Japa is not punya. Japa is transcendental sound vibration. Kirtan is transcendental sound vibration. So Prabhupada came and brought this chanting, and he used to go, if you watch the old movies of Prabhupada in America, he would go to the parks in New York, and then he also went to the parks in San Francisco, and the boys and girls were just young people, you know. They called them hippies. The reporter asked Prabhupada once, what is a hippie? And Prabhupada said, you know better than me, to the reporter. He said something unique, Prabhupada said. So that is the Western culture. There was no direction, there was no dharma, there was no upbringing, there was no right or wrong. I mean, there is religion in the West, and Prabhupada was very impressed, actually. He said, I see churches on every corner. You go to any big city in America, there are churches everywhere. And there are also, you know, Jewish people, there's synagogues. So there's churches and synagogues. So there's some religious training, not that they have no training. Of course, they don't have Vedic training. And many of the people had rejected their upbringing, their religious bringing. I know I myself, my parents brought me to church every week when I was young. But I got to the point when I was a teenager, I said to myself, I don't see people who are really inspiring me. I don't see a devotee. I see the priest at the church, and he seems to be just like everyone else. You know, he does the service, he'll know the prayers. But I see him after service, and he's just, eating meat, drinking wine, associating with everyone else, and he seems like a normal, average person. He doesn't strike me as a self-effulgent, enlightened being. So I was said to myself, I have to find that self-effulgent, enlightened being. Somebody who really, really stands out. Someone who's unique. Someone who knows the truth. Tattva darshana. Someone who has seen the truth. And that's when I went looking. And that was actually the story of almost every Western Hare Krishna devotee in this movement. And I would probably also say the Eastern ones too. We start to look, where is purity? Where is truth? Where is knowledge? This is our driving force that keeps us, to find the absolute. And so with that desire in my heart, actually I went to different groups. You start to look, and I went to some yoga group, and they were doing exercises. I said, well, I can go to gym and do exercises too. This is not telling me the truth. I read different books, and I went to some other groups. And then I heard that the Hare Krishna people were downtown every week. I hadn't seen them, but I had heard about them. I said, well, this is an interesting group. I have to check this out. So I went downtown Washington, D.C., and there were the devotees on Saturday afternoon chanting on the street, and they were distributing prasadam, little sweets, simply wonderfuls, as little, you know what they are, milk and sugar, something unique. Prabhupada said that Krishna is simply wonderful, and you are simply wonderful. So keep on distributing these simply wonderfuls. You have these here? Simply wonderful. You've all tasted a simply wonderful. So in the early days of the movement, we used to give them out on the street all the time. So that was my first prasadam, the simply wonderful. And actually, it was so good, devotees were on each corner. So I go to the first devotee, and he says, here, take this sweet. And he tells me a little something about Krishna. And I'm eating the sweet, walking down the street. And then I come to the next corner, and there's another devotee. He says, here, take this sweet. I said, okay, this is getting better. And like 5-6 devotees, I go and getting another sweet each time. And I also got some book. And they said they have some center not too far from there, and Sunday program, please come. So this is the job of the devotees, to search out those seekers, to be a beacon of light to give people direction how to come back to Krishna. That is our job as devotees, that we want to help the fallen souls. So we say every morning, Vanchakopa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyascha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. That's not just a prayer we say out of memory, like so many prayers, but it is actually a true definition of what we are or what we should be, that we should be compassionate to the fallen conditioned souls. That means we try to help everyone, and we also try to help each other. Sometimes we see, and I've had this experience, that we're very compassionate to new people, but we're kind of harsh to the old people. You have experience of this? Someone who's already a devotee, you're like, we're not so loving. We're not. Of course, here in Chaupati, you're a little special. But other places, sometimes we get like that. We think, oh, he already knows everything, and so we're expecting him to be perfect. He's only a devotee 2 months, but we're expecting him to be the pure devotee already. So we're treating him, we're a little harsh sometimes. So we have to be compassionate. Even we see, old devotees have difficulties sometimes. Everyone, because we're fighting Maya. Sometimes Maya is winning, sometimes Krishna is winning. So if we have that compassion for them and with some mercy toward them, they will appreciate it very much. So I went around the whole streets of Washington, D.C. There's a area called Georgetown, kind of a young, hip area where young people would go. So that's where the devotees went. And I got the book, I got the Simply Wonderfuls. The next week, I was at the temple. Within 2 weeks, I said, I want to shave my head. I want to join this group. I said, I found it. I found people who are actually monks, who are actually devotees, and not just social religionists like my priests and my churches that I would go to. And here are people, they wake up early, they're vegetarian. I had already become a vegetarian. I didn't become a vegetarian because of Krishna consciousness. I early figured that out, that this meat eating is not a good product, not good for one's consciousness. I became vegetarian 6 months earlier. And I had stopped already intoxication. I'd already stopped all these things because I said, this is not good. Then I found the devotees and they said, oh, you don't eat meat. We have 4 rules. No meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling. I said, well, great, I'm vegetarian. I don't take intoxication. I never had a girlfriend. And I don't gamble, so I'm ready. There's no problem. Just have some hair here. Just cut the hair. I'm ready to join. And actually, I joined very quickly, but I was in school. I was young. I was 16. So I was living under the direction of my parents. And, of course, they weren't devotees. But they were liberal in the sense that they were not restricting me. So, my vegetarian diet and all, they had no problem with it. So I would stay at home, and I would come to the temple on the weekends. And I would stay over on the weekends, and we'd go out on Harinam. And we go to college programs, and they had this Krishna club at the colleges. And I found it so exciting. Krishna consciousness is exciting. Sometimes we're in Krishna consciousness a long time, and we think, maybe we're not excited anymore. Sometimes we see amongst old devotees a loser enthusiasm. That's why you need to always search out exciting people in Krishna consciousness. Exciting devotees, pure devotees. And that's why even though I've been a devotee so many years, I search out, I go on these festivals, I go with Radhanath Swami. This is my second big festival with him. Of course, I've been with Radhanath Swami for many years. We used to live in New Vrindavan together, and I've known him for many, many decades. And I would go with Jai Bhataka Swami on safari around India, and I'd go with him to South America. I used to travel with Bhakti Swarup Damodar Swami for many, many years. I traveled with him to many countries. So find out those exciting people and associate with them, because as we're seeing, the nature of this world is temporary, and these exciting souls will leave us at some point. We're having this experience right now with Jai Bhataka Swami's in the hospital. We went to visit him with Radhanath Swami and Jayadvaita Swami the day before yesterday. And I could actually just in Japa this morning, I was remembering my trip to Tirupati with him. He would always take the group to Tirupati. And he had an opportunity for a special darshan in the evening. Now, I think many... Who has been to Balaji? Raise your hand. Who has seen Tirupati? Many people. Now, it's a lot of... Balaji is very popular. If there's a chance to see God, everybody wants to see God. So there's a big line. You wait for hours sometimes. So, of course, Jayabhataka Swami is a special person. So, and the management made a special arrangement in the evening. You come at this time, you'll have special darshan. So I just happened to be standing next to him at the moment. He said, Anuttama, you come with me too. So he invited me. So it was just, we went in, it was just the two of us and maybe five other people sitting for the evening aarti. Just seven people. And the line is like going out, you know, for hours. And it's just for 15 minutes, just him and me sitting there in front of Balaji for 15 minutes. You know, I mean, you go to Balaji, how long you stay? You know, they're pushing. You're like trying to catch the darshan, and they're pushing. The police or, you know, the guards of the Lord, we'll call them, are pushing you gently around because there's so many people that want to have darshan. So I was remembering that opportunity. So by associating with these saintly people, you get these saintly opportunities. So mode of goodness, one should develop this mode of goodness, and that is summarized by these four regulated principles that we have. Of course, in India, India, four regulated principles are kind of natural. In the West, it's interesting. Prabhupada said about his early days of coming and preaching in America, he thought to himself, he said, if I tell these people about these principles, they will tell me, please go, Swamiji. We're not interested. Because everyone is doing all these things. It is the way of life over there. But so that is why Prabhupada did not compromise. He could have said, there were many other Swamis coming, and they did not give regulated principles. They said, give me money. I'll give you mantra. That's all. Don't worry about rules. Don't worry about regulations. You just $50, here's a mantra, you meditate 15 minutes morning, 15 minutes evening, you will realize God very quickly. Don't worry about what you eat, what you drink, what you think, what you do. But that is bogus. We all know that. But they're compromising for business. They're making business out of God. But Prabhupada did not want to do that. He said, even if I get one devotee, just one star, one moon, he would say, one moon in the sky, it lights up the whole sky at night. So even if I get just one devotee to follow these principles properly, I'll feel my mission successful. He did not want many, many thousands of, you know, quasi-followers. So that is why here in Chopati, even though we have a lot of people, we could have a lot more if we had some compromise. But we don't compromise, because we want the quality, not the quantity. We want the perfect people. We want the pure devotees. Because it's the pure devotees that will save the world, not a bunch of wishy-washy people. They will not save the world. But the pure devotee, the enlightened one, which we are all aspiring to be, this is what will help the world. So we all have to work on our personal development of becoming purified, and then give it to others to spread this Krishna consciousness. I mean, it may not happen in 5 years, may not happen in 10 years. I mean, I've been working on it for almost 37 years, so, you know, just now you're seeing me. I was living at home for many, many years, just doing business and things, but I've come to the point where I'm realizing, yes, time is running out. Half of my friends are passing away already. I will also pass away. So what good am I going to do for the world? What, you know, besides just my immediate family members and my little community where I live, I should be going out extending myself to more people. So all of us should feel like that. Even if Prabhupada said all of us should be gurus. He didn't say just, you know, one person, two person, I'll appoint acharya. He said, all my students should become spiritual masters. All of them should spread Krishna consciousness. He said, guru is not such a big thing. Not that you need four arms and five heads. He said that once. Sometimes we think guru is a big thing. He said, just repeat the message of Krishna as given in the Bhagavad Gita. Just repeat what you heard from your guru. Even if Prabhupada, you know, Malati was here the other day, Prabhupada always gave that story in the early days of Indian preaching. Malati came with her little daughter in India in the early 70s. And the little daughter would come up to people and say, just chant Hare Krishna. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Prabhupada said, just see, she is preaching. She was like 4 years old. She's telling people Krishna is God. So we could all, you know, and what's her realization? You know, four-year-old, no realization. But she's repeating what she's heard. So even if you don't have realization, if you repeat what you've heard, you will get realization. Sometimes we think, I can't preach yet. I'm not a pure devotee. When I become a pure devotee, then I'll talk to people about Krishna. Prabhupada didn't say that. If you study the early days of ISKCON, you'll see that he asked the devotees to go open a center. You go here, you go there, you go to London. He sent three couples to London. And everyone was like young, married. They were young married people. Malati was one of them who went to London with her husband, Shyama Sundar, and Guru Das, and another couple. He sent someone else to Fiji, someone else to Germany. The devotees went to South America. And this movement spread very quickly. And it didn't spread by everybody being perfect. It just spread by enthusiasm that we are working for the perfect one. We are working for Prabhupada. You know, we don't know anything, but Prabhupada knows everything. So we will tell people about Prabhupada. And that's how we felt in those days of spreading Krishna consciousness. So it was a Hare Krishna explosion, they called it, or like a revolution. I mean, I was in New York City for 5 years. We had about 75 ladies and about 150 men total in the. It was a pretty big. It was a very big temple, relatively speaking. But this people in the city thought we had thousands and thousands. They saw us everywhere. We were on the subways giving out magazines. We were on the streets in Times Square chanting. We were uptown, downtown, east side, west side. They thought we had an army of devotees. They had no idea how small we really were. So that is, Krishna expands himself like that. The devotees also expand in that way. So Krishna, yada yada hi dharmasya. Krishna's, this verse is talking about different incarnations of Krishna. So Hayagriva. Now it's interesting that Prabhupada gave this name out in the very early days. We all have heard of Hayagriva Prabhu. He was an English professor, and he was the first editor for Prabhupada, and he edited the Bhagavad Gita for the first printing. So Prabhupada gave that name out. You think of the early names that Prabhupada gave out. Very interesting. Hayagriva was one of the first names he gave out. You know, sometimes, if you study names nowadays, they're all, you know, some Rasikic, Krishna Rasikic names, you know, Gopi Bhav names. But Hayagriva, you know, it's like, who knows about Hayagriva? Horsehead. We know very little about Hayagriva, but Prabhupada gave that name. And then Prabhupada gave Brahmananda. And in the purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada mentions that my god brothers have criticized me for giving this name because Brahmananda is like the bliss of Brahman. But there was one verse that it talked about a disciple of Lord Chaitanya or associate of Lord Chaitanya. His name was Brahmananda. So Prabhupada said, just see, they're criticizing me, but here it is given. Here it is in the book. So Prabhupada gave a lot of interesting names. He also gave names, if you study, names of different demigods. We had a devotee named Kartikeya. We had a devotee named Ganapati. We had a lady's name, different names of Devi. We had different names of places. We had a Navadweep. We had a Varanasi, lady named Varanasi, and a man named Navadweep. And then they got married. I don't know what they called their kids. Varanasi and Navadweep came together. So Prabhupada gave many different names. It was very interesting to see what Prabhupada would do. There was Gauri Devi Dasi. She was a big book distributor, famous book distributor. She's passed away now from cancer some years back, but you know, very enthusiastic. She was a little older lady. So Prabhupada makes the point here. Oh, it's getting late. Hare Krishna. You get on a roll and you forget about the world. I'm supposed to leave for Vrindavan today. I am leaving for Vrindavan today. If I don't finish, I won't be. So I want to thank you all for coming. We'll be back on the 10th. 9th. 9th. I come back on the 9th. So I'll be here for the 10th. So maybe I can speak to you again one more time. So thank you very much. Hare Krishna. All glories.